And here we are. You're listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Tom Baker, your host for today. And it is an open mic Friday on this September the 9th in the year of our Lord 2016. What does that mean? It means, you ready? You can call in and take over the microphone. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll free, it's 1-800-730-2727. And as you also know, I work for Concordia Mission Society, where we put out the Good News magazine, and the latest one has now been published. If you're all interested in receiving a free copy, don't hesitate to call me at, 1-877-267-1962. That's long distance. Leave your name and your phone number, or leave your address. We'll be glad to send you a copy. You can also email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm also a pastor now at Trinity Orchard Farm in St. Charles, Missouri. And this Sunday at 3 p.m., we have a church picnic. So if you're in the St. Charles area looking for a church, boy, Trinity is for you. 3 p.m. on Sunday. Worship, by the way, is at Sunday at 8 and 10:30. And we're also going to have not only a dedication of parochial school, Sunday school teachers and helpers, but we're also having a blessing of student backpacks. What's that? Well, students take backpacks to school. And when we bless them, we want them to be set aside to the glory of God. So that which is contained within them are proper to the glory of God. They can be textbooks, Bibles, or whatever. So if you don't attend a church and you would like to have your student's backpack blessed, then bring your child with you to Trinity Orchard Farm and the backpack, and we'll be glad to do that. So, phone numbers are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727, and we encourage you to call now, because if you wait to the end, we don't have time. While we are waiting for a call, I'd like to continue a conversation I had some time ago. The fastest growing group in the religious world are nuns. And I don't mean N-U-N-S, I mean N-O-N-E-S. People who, when you ask them, oh, are you a member of a church? They say, no, I'm a member of none. So we're going to be taking a look at some of those reasons why they're doing that. But at this point, I think we're going to go to the phone lines. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this?
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it was about something that you were talking about yesterday. And somebody you answered their question, and they made the comment that it's a great answer to the wrong question. And I was like thinking, like, you know, I mean, not about you personally, but people in the religious field, they seem to do that quite a lot. They never give a direct answer to a question, and then they'll always either begin or end or somewhere with some kind of like a ceremonial religious phrase or something. Are there, you know, and they never really answer their question directly.
Yeah, when I was talking about early in the ministry here on KFUO, a person would ask a question, I would start answering it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they said, well, that's a great answer, but that's not really what I was asking.
Right.
So yesterday I was saying, before you answer anything, always ask the person, what do you mean by this? And so it's really an important point to do that.
Yeah, but even by asking that, frequently people that are not only in the religious field, but other things, they still won't give you a direct answer to your question, though.
Well, we hope to do that on KFUO, and every time you call, Mike, I give you a pretty good direct answer. Don't you agree?
Well, yes and no, but I really wasn't thinking. Well, I mean, not thinking about you in particular.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, just the general views. And so,
well, I mean, I was listening. I was watching Channel 51, and they had that debate between Ken Ham and that Professor Nye. And, I mean, this Ken Ham character did this throughout the whole debate, but, I mean, but he's not the only one that does this stuff. But somebody asked him a direct question. They said, well, what kind of evidence would you, something like, what kind of evidence would you need to see to believe in evolution? And he just refused to answer the question. He said, well, it's clear in a book of Genesis that, you know, there's a, you know, that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then he went to some kind of like ceremonial thing, like Jesus Christ is our Savior or something. I couldn't even like, I don't remember because it just doesn't mean anything
sure.
to me.
Well, I appreciate
but, I mean, that's common among all. That's common yeah. though, very common.
I appreciate the call, but frankly, there is no evidence for evolution. So I agree with Ken Ham entirely. Let's go on to the next call, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Pastor.
Hi.
I had a big discussion yesterday with my brother on the Holy Spirit. And I was saying how the Holy Spirit lives within me and has since my baptism. And he questioned that, and he was reading from Psalms. And I've been reading the book of Psalms all morning long. The only place that I find anything that says any on that is in chapter 139. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? And this is where that from in heaven thou art there, if I'm in hell thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And then I go back, and I'm reading in Acts, and this is what I try to bring forth to him, that it said, and let's see, I'm not sure what chapter I'm. Oh, I'm in chapter 2.
Yes, it says that when they were baptized, they received the gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And so my question is this.
Yes.
Where does it say that baptism must be by water?
Because the word baptize means to wash. And they were washing pots and pans and tables. Remember John the Baptizer, when he did his ceremonial baptism, what did he use?
Well, right.
He used water.
Right.
And so this is very important to understand. Just like in the Lord's Supper, we use bread and wine, so also God has indicated to us that we need to use water.
Okay, so we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that means that the Holy Spirit is within us?
Yes. You made a call to KFUO today. Who motivated you to do that?
Well, I'm sure my conversation with my brother.
Well, I'll tell you, Marilyn, the Holy Spirit did.
Okay.
Yes, because you are concerned about your brother and you wanted an answer.
With what? And it really bothered me.
Oh, it should. When we have a loved one who doesn't quite understand. And all you can do at this point is to continue to give him Bible verses. So we'll sure keep you in our prayers, Marilyn, and hopefully you'll have a good conversation. But point out that Acts 2 passage, which is very clear. Let's go talk to Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to what Marilyn said, and I needed to hear that verse from Psalm 139 today. So thanks for that. My question concerns the word faith. In Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, the word faith is spoken of, and you can't separate the word faith from Jesus Christ. And I've been concerned about that would happen at our congregation because they're planning a celebration for a 165th anniversary for next year, and they want input. And they told us, we're focusing on the word faith. And so I gave my input. I gave my input of the lectionary that would occur during August of next year from Matthew.
Yes.
Which would indicate the word faith being used by Jesus in his interactions with the people. I gave a book, Where Christ is Present and Why I Am a Lutheran, to the person that was asking for the input.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to think of ways I can get them to focus on Jesus instead of just on the word faith.
Well, the thing to do is go to chapter 11 of Hebrews, and it has the definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, what is your greatest hope? And that should be that heaven is your home.
Yes.
Well, how can you be assured of that? Because of the promises of Jesus. You can't find anywhere in the scripture that faith doesn't finally apply to the promises of the gospel. And that's what the gospel is, are promises of Jesus. Somebody said to me once, how do you make sure that people continue to have faith? I said, remind them of the promises. And if you can get that across, they'll go through the Bible and find promise after promise. The other way to do this, and this is from Professor Nagel, that I learned this, where when you see the word faith, simply change it to Jesus. And boy, does that ever work. I'll just give you one example. It's from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, change that to Jesus. And by grace you have been saved through Jesus. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And I'll tell you, if you can get that across, that every time they see the word faith, change it to Jesus, then you will have accomplished your mission.
Okay. Thank you. That's very good advice. Thank you, Pastor Baker.
God bless, Cheryl. And we'll just move on to the next person. Hello, Charles.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
I have a sneaking suspicion I might have asked this question already, or else I was thinking about asking it. I'm not certain. So if I did, forgive me.
No. I'm not going to forgive you, because I can only forgive someone who sins.
Okay.
And forgetting you asked a question is not a sin.
Okay. I was doing the tongue-in-cheek thing.
I know. I'm pulling your leg. Go ahead, Charles.
John 5, Bethesda Pool. Stirring of the waters, people standing by waiting to get in to be healed. What do you make of all that? It's never been clear in my mind.
Are you asking that you don't think that really ever happened?
No, I'm sensing that it's a common anomaly of nature that it doesn't indicate anything about God's involvement. Supposedly, in a less accurate text, there's some angels that would come down and stir the waters, and when the waters were stirred, they would get healed. And it doesn't seem that there's anything that's instituted by God here for their healing.
You know, God heals in many different ways. For example, you don't have to be a believer to be healed.
Yeah.
Hospitals are filled with unbelievers who go through surgery, and it's fine. He says, I have no one to put me into the pool where the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. And so that gives us the impression that these people were healed. But the man is still focused on the pool rather than on Jesus. And so what happens here, Jesus comes and he takes the place of the pool. He says to him, get up, take your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, he took up his bed and walked. Now, I believe that the whole reason this is in the Bible is what follows. It just so happened to be the Sabbath. And it's not lawful for somebody to carry their bed. They thought that was work. And so they get angry at Jesus for doing this. And that shows once more that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, as well as the fact that he doesn't need a pool to heal anybody. Now, it is of some interest. Last Sunday, we baptized an infant, Edward J. Leiniger. And you know what I did to the baptismal water? I stirred it by putting in a shell and putting the water on the head of the child. There is a specific promise. So we know that the child was healed of sin in the sense that he was moved from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. But in this pool thing, outside of the word of the man, I don't find anywhere else in the Bible where this was actually happening. It may have been a hope on the part of the people, but it could have been something that God did permit. It might even have a medical reason for it, depending on why the pool was stirred. But at this point, we need to focus on Jesus as the one who healed in the same way that he heals in baptism.
Good point. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much. And we're going to go on now. I think this is Chris. Chris, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Please explain the purpose of daily repentance and confession and repentance. I know that the old Adam will never go away, and that in 1 John it says that if we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves. But I constantly get confused when some of my Reformed friends like to bring up passages such as, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he has a new creature and the old things has passed away. So their argument to me is that, we are a new man in God. So why do we focus on sin so much?
Oh, okay. I would ask them, why do they daily eat food?
Well, that's a rhetorical question.
Yes, because if they're in Christ and they're a new man, there's no need to eat food. Isn't God going to take care of you whether you eat food or not? Well, of course, but not really. In other words, food becomes a means by which God keeps your body strong in order that you might be able to do your vocation properly. In the same way, I would put repentance. Repentance is an acknowledgement on our part, not so much that we're a sinner, but that we need a Savior. And so proper repentance is actually a put down of the old Adam. Do not your Reformed friends remember Paul also in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I'm unable to do, the things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing? Well, that's the struggle that we have. And what repentance is actually an act of worship to Jesus Christ, acknowledging that he is the only hope for our salvation. And therefore, daily repentance isn't done by the new man for the new man's sake. It's done by the new man to put down the old Adam. Because the problem with Adam and Eve is they were not repenting of eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And by not doing that, they were committing idolatry, thinking that they were God. Martin Luther, in the 95 theses that he nailed to the door, remember, the first one is the life of a Christian is one of repentance.
Daily repentance.
And that means that it's just kind of like when I had children, the life of them consisted in eating a meal. But who gave them the meal? My wife Louise and I did. And so every time we sat down, we said a prayer thanking Jesus for this meal. Did we have to do that? No. But it was a reminder to us of all things come from Jesus. And I would put repentance in the same place.
I see. Well, that's part one reason I love being Lutheran is when I try to make these explanations to my Reformed friends, they just get the strangest looks on their face.
Lutheranism is totally against common sense. And therefore, it really takes the Holy Spirit to provide the understanding of Lutheranism fully. And every pastor is still a neophyte in understanding the distinctions between law and gospel. We continually grow in that as the Lord gives us strength, as he gives us experience, and as we continue to read his word. But I sure appreciate your call, Chris.
Thank you.
And we're going to go on down the line. Diane, you're on the air. Diane, go ahead.
Good morning, Pastor Tom.
Good morning.
We've got the word faith and repentance. I'm going to throw in the word grace and see what you think of this explanation.
Yes.
Grace is the empowering presence of God enabling me to be who he created me to be so I can do what he calls me to do. What do you think of that?
I don't like that at all because,
I don't either.
Well, what's the focus? It's on
me.
In fact, we had a discussion last night at Trinity Orchard Farm in our Bible study at 7 o'clock where we were talking about worship services that are contemporary that are not good. And one of the women there made an excellent point, and she said, you know, the problem with a lot isn't so much the tunes or such, but the words focus on me rather than on Jesus. So I prefer to say that grace is Jesus' gift to me of that which I do not deserve. The forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and the many promises in the scripture. Keep grace focused on us, because if you talk about it's the empowering presence of God for me to do what I need to do, and then I'm not doing what I need to do, I don't think God is gracious towards me.
And it's so vague and nebulous, you know, it's like everybody can have their own idea of when God doing this to them.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
I sure
thank
appreciate
you.
It. And let's go talk with Bob. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Baker. I'm going to make this quick. At the end of one of your shows, you mentioned God calls all of us to a life of humility. And in there, you have faith twice. And if you'll allow me, I'll just read this to you, putting Jesus in there. It says, God calls all of us to a life of humility and repentance, but all not will take that call because it's so hard to become a Christian that it takes a miracle of Jesus, mainly the Holy Spirit, creating in you Jesus that believes the impossible, acknowledges the ridiculous, and goes on when all around us we seem to be in great trouble.
Did you write that?
No. You said it.
Oh, I was going to say, that's really good.
And then
I didn't know it was me saying it.
No, I liked it so much. And you did it right at the end of one of your shows.
Yes.
And I thought it was so great that I listened to a podcast, copied it. And then when this is being discussed today, I thought, I'm going to try that out. And I think that's just great when you put Jesus instead of faith. So I wanted to share that with you.
I really appreciate that, Bob. Thank you very much for calling.
God bless. God bless. Yep, you too.
Okay. Seven people today. We don't have time for anyone else, but I sure appreciate all of you folks calling. You know, sometimes Marsh Smith and I talk about we should have open mic every day, because I think we would get quite a few calls, but we reserve it for Fridays. Monday, Boy, do sometimes you get tired of a worship service because it's going so long and you're trying to get to the restaurant or maybe get home before the football game starts? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Yes, it does. And we're going to be talking about that on Monday and our next broadcast of Law and Gospel. By the way, the Sunday school lesson, we're moving back to Mondays on issues, etc. And if you'd like to join the picnic at Trinity Orchard Farm this Sunday at 3 or worship at 8 and 10:30. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.